بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال موسى لقومه: يا قوم لم تؤذونني وقد تعلمون أني رسول الله إليكم؟ فلما زاغوا أزاغ الله قلوبهم والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. وقال الله تعالى: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected friends and elders, there are many examples in the dunya of people who had it all and then lost it all. There are many examples around us, not far off in the dunya, in our own communities, sometimes within our own families, people who at one stage in their lives, like I said, had it all. And then a time came when everything was lost. This is a common occurrence and something we notice when it comes to material things. But I am actually referring to our spiritual wealth. I am referring to our deen, our iman, our Islam, our sunnah, our ilm, our amal. For this too, there are many examples of those who had it all and then lost it all. The zamana we are living in, the era we find ourselves in, sadly is such that it is engulfed in fitna. At every turn, there is a challenge. At every turn, there is a new fitna. There is a new temptation. And from one fitna to another, to another, to another, when a person gets involved and trapped in these temptations, then as time goes along, he is robbed of the spirituality he once possessed. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, who was the greatest man of this ummah, the greatest person, the greatest human after Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu had this fear on himself that it must not happen that I am robbed of what I have spiritually. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu lived in the best of eras, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the 2 year period that he was Khalifa immediately after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no better time in the history of mankind. There was no purer place in the history of mankind than that place, Medina Munawwara. Despite that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had this fear, and a constant fear which is manifested in many different narrations from him. But my respected Ustad, Shaykh Muhammad Awama, Hafidhahullah, for many years gives this advice. When I first met him 24 years ago, Shaykh Hafidhahullah mentioned the same advice. People, visitors used to come and visit him while I was studying those days. He would give the same advice. Today too he gives the same advice. That the dua of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, every day at Maghrib time, he would recite, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. It seems a very simple dua, and a dua we hear often, we may recite often as well. But the meaning it carries is very, very profound. And in this day and age, respected friends and elders, it is a dua that we ought to be making daily. If Siddiq Akbar, if the greatest man of this ummah, in short, to ask Allah daily using this dua, then what about me and you? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, do not allow our hearts to deviate. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you have given us hidayat. There was nobody who had more hidayat in this ummah than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. People like me and you living in this zamana, 1445 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can be said about our era and our zamana? What can be said about our level of hidayat? But the amount of complacency we have today, Gee, respected friends and allies, is in complete contrast. In that zamana, if they were complacent, maybe it could have been tolerated and understood. But we are in an era of trial, tribulation, fitna, temptation, sin and guna. Yet we are content with how we are. It's fine. Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Yet we feel it's fine for us to compromise on one command of Allah, one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's okay. No, na'uzu billah, it is never okay. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is making this dua every day. Oh Allah, do not allow my heart to deviate. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you have given me hidayat. Wahab lana min ladunka rahmah. And oh Allah, bless us with mercy from your side. Rahmah, those who know the Arabic language will understand here. Wahab lana min ladunka rahmatan. The Mufassirun explain this tanween is for ta'zeem. We need abundant and great mercy of Allah to remain on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Bless us with mercy, because it is only via the mercy of Allah that we will be able to remain on Sirat-e-Mustaqim and be saved from the attacks on our iman. We will be saved and secured from being robbed of our iman and spirituality. Innaka antal wahhab. O Allah, indeed, you are the great bestower. You are the one who will give, you are the one who will take. O Allah, bless us with abundant mercy that will keep us on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Compare our lives now from 20 years ago, 30 years ago. How much of practice of deen is still in my life? How particular am I now? Am I as particular now that like I was 10, 20, 15, 20, 30 years ago? Or am I becoming more and more complacent? If complacency is setting into me, then this is a bad sign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this example of the heart being deviated. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam mentioned to his people, gave them commands, they refused to accept his commands. They refused to follow the command of Allah via their Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they, so to say, tilted, when they deviated, when they moved off the track, Allah allowed their hearts also to be deviated. The point I want to draw here is that there is a direct link between our physical actions and the state of our hearts. What you do directly affects the condition of the heart. A person that commits one sin, nukitat fi qalbihi nuktatun sawda, a black dot appears on his heart. The hadith has mentioned this in so many different ways of how sin and guna affects the heart. Quran mentions kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. The deeds that they were doing, it resulted in their hearts becoming rusty. This is all a direct result of the amal we do. And a person generally will not recognize this. He will not recognize that black dot came on his heart. He can't feel it. He will not recognize that there is some kind of rust settling on his heart. But once it becomes completely black, like the hadith says, the heart becomes hard or completely rusted, then people all around you can see it. Then people all around can get that stench of the dark heart and black heart. Why? Because that now affects the actions that will come out of a man's body. So, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا عَنِ الْإِتِّبَاعِ. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah explains, what is meant by they deviated? They stopped following. They stopped following the commands of their Nabi alayhi salam. A person leaves out the command of Allah, pays no attention to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a sign of zaykh. This is a sign of being deviated from the path. In fact, Allama Alusi rahimahullah says that falamma asarru, when they persisted on this. Yes, a person missed out one salah. He fell into some sin once off. He made tawbah and he continued. It's different. But when a person persists on this, on his disobedience of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. The same word, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Allah says, those are people who we allowed the deviation to set into their hearts. أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ عَنِ الْهِدَايَةِ. Allah says that we turn their hearts away and to be deviated from hidayat. So when their practice was wrong, then the condition of the heart also changed. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, the great mufassir of the latter times, explains, فَلَمَّا أَزَاغُوا عَنْ اتِّبَاعِ الْأَيِّ عَنْ اتِّبَاعِ الْحَقِّ مَعَ عِلْمِهِمْ بِهِ. Despite knowing what was the truth. In other words, despite hidayat coming to you, let us look into our lives. This dua says, oh Allah, don't allow us to deviate after you have guided us. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Let us look at examples, real examples in our lives of بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, after you have given us hidayat, the amount of masjids that we have, the amount of madrasas we have, the amount of ulama we have, whether it is from birth to death and even after death, every aspect of your deen is catered for. The amount of ilm we have today, the amount that we know about what is halal and what is haram, all this is the hidayat from Allah's side. The fact that you could go to a masjid, even before attending the masjid, the fact that you can hear the adhan, that is also hidayat from Allah. That is also something that Allah has facilitated for us here. Then you can walk peacefully. Wherever you are, there is a place of worship and a masjid nearby. Masjid, musalla, a place where you can read your salah with jama'ah. You come to the masjid, you have a qualified imam and a alim who will lead you in salah. You have any issue regarding your deen, you can inquire. Your child is born, you need the mulana for tahniq, he is there. You need somebody to guide you regarding the rules of aqiqah or giving a child a name, he is there. You need somebody to educate yourself or your child or your family, they are available. This is the hidayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with as a community here. But respected friends and elders, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. All of this can be lost. All of this can be lost. Allah protect us and save us. And that will happen when in practice we are different. When it comes to our amal, then we are not following the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah says, I have this fear that if I have to leave out one adab and one etiquette, not one sunnah, mustahab or farz, command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have this fear that if I have to leave out one adab of deen, one act of adab and etiquette, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may even deprive me of everything. Allah may deprive me of the entire hidayat and take it all away. That is how particular we ought to be, respected friends and elders. That slight deviation will lead on to another and another. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So when they, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah explains, when they stop following the truth, despite knowing what is the truth. How many of us know or do not know? How many of us do not know that 5 times salah is farz on us? All of us know it. How many of us are reading our 5 times daily salah? How many of us do not know about the farziyat of our zakat? And how many of us are truly discharging our zakat properly and meticulously? How many of us do not know of the sin of photography and videography? How many of us do not know of the sin of riba, the sin of looking at haram, consuming haram, etc., lying, cheating, wheeling and dealing, usurping the rights of others? And how many are victim of these sins? Despite knowing it, they fail to follow. That is the message in this verse. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed their hearts to deviate. In the tafsir of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, بِأَنْ أَسْكَنَهَا الشَّكَّ وَالْحَيْرَةَ وَالْخِذْلَانِ. Then you find that now the person is not convinced about deen, na'uzu billah. He says, I got no conviction on the promises of akhirah, that akhirah is a real conception or a concept or not. Then na'uzu billah, he feels it's fine to engage interfaith discussions and accept everybody else as being equal, na'uzu billah. Then he feels it's fine for somebody in the family to be an active member of the LGBTQ+ community. Then he feels it's fine that his daughter can go out, na'uzu billah, live away from home, study in some university, co-education, mix with the opposite gender, fall into problems and fitna. He sees no wrong in that. He is proud. He is proud the day his daughter can be portrayed as some successful woman in the business place, despite not covering herself properly. How do we reach there, respected friends and elders? There is a beginning to that. Every end has a beginning. Every end has a beginning. And the beginning here is when we fail to follow what Allah Rabbul Izzah has facilitated for us. زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ The condition of the heart then changes. What happens? What happens? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهُ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ Allah says, don't be like those who forgot Allah. How do they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A person forgets Allah by forgetting the command of Allah. By breaking the command of Allah. One command after another. One command after another is broken in my life. Think to ourselves, respected friends and elders. Have we forgotten our Allah? Because Allah says, don't reach that level. Don't go there. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ Why? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to forget themselves. How does a man forget himself? He forgets Allah because Allah told him it's haram to engage in interest, but he engaged in it. It's haram to commit zina, but he fell for it. It's haram to listen to music, but he listened and he engaged, indulged. It's haram to usurp the wealth of others, but he didn't bother. It's haram to lie and cheat, but he didn't bother. It's wrong not to give you a zakat, but he didn't give zakat. It's wrong to miss your salah, but he missed his salah. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, after the wafat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relocated to Basra. So he would stay in Basra. And once when he came to visit Medina Munawwara, the people of Medina asked him, in the riwayah of Bukhari Sharif, that, oh Anas, have you seen any change here in Medina? How's the level of deen? That was the reason for the question. How's the level of deen of the people in Medina? Anas radiallahu anhu says, ma ankartu shay'an. I see no cracks, so to say. MashaAllah, deen is still here in full practice. غَيْرَ أَنَّكُمْ لَا تُقِيمُونَ الصُّفُوفِ But you don't straighten the safs properly. That was the first crack that he saw. Now somebody might think to himself, Alhamdulillah, everything else is fine. What's the need to mention that our safs are not straight? But that is how it starts. And I'm purposely mentioning this. Our masjid here, Alhamdulillah, is quite huge. One of the repercussions of COVID is that when people used to come to the masjid, they would stand far apart. Unfortunately, that COVID hasn't left us. We find people making the saf from the corner. The saf starts behind the imam. If you are standing in the corner, technically you are not even part of the jamaat. The saf starts from behind the imam. You come late and you can't make it to the center for that rakat, it's fine. Even if you have to miss that rakat. But come and join the saf behind the imam. Ensure that there are no gaps in the saf. Gee, the lines are there. Many times we find the line is there, but half of the people of the saf, their heels are not on the line. Somebody is forward, somebody is behind. غَيْرُ أَنَّكُمْ لَا تُقِيمُونَ الصُّفُوفِ That was one crack Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu had seen. Here we have many, many cracks, respected friends and elders. Not cracks, but holes. Holes that we have in our deen, that we have failed on a large scale. As an annual visitor, every time that I visit our country, respected friends and elders, the more you see those cracks and those holes increasing. And every time we come, I've got another dear friend who always mentions this. He says, you know, whenever I go, our country is full of disputes. Our country is full of financial disputes. Now deen has taken second seat. Deen is now on the second row. Now every person is worried about his dunya. Every person is at loggerheads. Any person with money has got some kind of a dispute with somebody else. How did we reach there? Why is it that is more important to us than our deen? That material thing will come and go, respected friends and elders. But in the process, if I slaughter the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if in the process I deprive my sister from her rightful inheritance, if in the process I deprive my partner when I was dissolving my partnership because I didn't show him certain part of the books, then that is now attacking my iman. That is that crack that is appearing and that hole that is spreading in my iman and in my heart. That is now I'm becoming a victim of فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would make this dua daily at Maghrib time that, oh Allah, la tuzigh qulubana. Don't allow our hearts to deviate from the truth. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you gave us hidayat. A person, last week somebody was mentioning You know, he says that for a person in South Africa, in this kind of a community, for this person not to earn his jannat is very difficult. For somebody not to be able to earn his jannat despite being in this kind of an environment. Again, coming back to the examples I was giving you of Ba'da idh hadaytana. Because the hidayat Allah has given us here, in other words, the facilitation of hidayat, is very rare, respected friends and allies. In the riwayah of Muslim Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah's mercy is so great in general on mankind. Allah's mercy is so great. Allah is so ready to forgive sins. وَلَيْ يَهْلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. It is really, truly a despicable person, a man who is doomed, who is destroyed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, somebody who can't get the mercy of Allah, somebody who couldn't get his maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite Allah Rabbul Izzah being so merciful, despite Allah Rabbul Izzah being ready to forgive at every turn, despite that, if a person couldn't earn his salvation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is truly a halik, a doomed person. لَيْ يَهْلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ. So when this person mentioned this to me last week, my mind went to this hadith. That he's saying in this country, if a person can't earn his jannat, then really and truly, you know, he must be really deprived. Because it is difficult not to earn your jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated everything for us. Gee, a time will come when a person will be robbed of everything in the akhirah. And then he will realize and think that what I had in this dunya was, I had it all in my hands. In when it comes to our material wealth, we understand this. Gee, a person made a big saving, I know, a big profit, mashallah, on some investment of his. A good return he got. And alhamdulillah, it was sufficient for him. But he decided to take one more chance. Let us now do another deal. And that deal went sour and he lost it all. How pitiful, how sad he gets. But that wealth can come again. And wealth, if it doesn't come again also, respected friends and allies, will not affect our akhirah. But if a person loses his iman, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a time will come when in the morning a person will be a believer, but by the evening he will be robbed of his iman. There are some people who don't even realize the iman has left them. On the day of qiyamah, when there will be a separation between the believers and the munafiqs, they will call out, yunadunahum alam nakum ma'akum. They will call out to them, were we not with you? Why this segregation? On the day of qiyamah, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. The call will be made. All the sinners will be separated from the obedient ones. The believers one side, kuffar on another side, the munafiqs on another side. There will be different groups formed. So those people who lost their iman, maybe not even realizing it, they will say, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Why are we on this side and the believers are on that side? Ibn Kathir rahimahullah again explains here, what will these people mean when they say, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Were we not with you? أَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُصَلِّي مَعَكُمُ الْجَمَاعَاتِ وَنَشْهَدُ مَعَكُمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ وَنَقِفُ مَعَكُمْ بِعَرَفَاتِ وَنُؤَدِّي مَعَكُمْ الزَّكَوَاتِ وَنَخْرُجُ مَعَكُمْ فِي الْغَزَوَاتِ. Were we not with you in namaz? We read salah together. We read Jum'ah namaz together. We were in Arafat together, we did Hajj together also. We went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you together. Why today you are there and I am here? Because those will be people, Allah save us, who were victims of فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. They were people who Allah allowed to deviate after hidayat came to them. This is a real example, respected friends and elders. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah explaining in the light of this verse that there are people who in this dunya, at one stage in their lives, they had hidayat. They were reading salah. They were there for the Jumu'ah. They went for Hajj. They went out in the path of Allah. They gave their charity. But when the fitnas came, then they allowed themselves to be trapped in the fitna. So, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Oh Allah, after you have given us hidayat, after hidayat comes to us, don't rob us of that, oh Allah. Don't allow us to be robbed. Oh Allah, don't allow us to be deprived. So قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. On Qiyamah, the believers will respond also to those people. And they will say, yes, undoubtedly, you are with us. بَلَىٰ, undoubtedly, indeed. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But you allowed yourselves to fall into fitna. And that is what we are discussing. To save ourselves from fitna, respected friends and allies, we first have to generate that fear of the fitna. We first have to be aware that this is a threat, not just to my practical life, But this will affect my iman and my ideology as well. This will affect my concept of iman and belief structure in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not just a once of sin I am committing. We have to understand the seriousness of this. Daily make that dua that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made at Maghrib time. Daily set a time to make this dua and ensure that we are practicing on what we know. Because there were many people, like I said at the beginning, who had it all in the dunyavi sense and lost it all. Like that in our deen and spirituality also there were many. Irrespective of who a person is, the test is there till the end. The test is till we leave this dunya, respected friends and elders. It's not that I've been there, given my 4 months in Ibadah of Allah, now I'm fine. Or I gave my one chilla and I went out for 40 days, I'm okay for the rest of the year. Or I read my salah, I'm reading my 4 times salah, one salah, if I miss it's fine, na'uzu billah. No. Or I'm okay in my charity, I'm sunnah libas, I have a big beard, I got a nice kurta, but in my business I can cheat, I can deprive people, I can delay in payment. No. This test will remain till the last moments. There were people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were actually selected as scribes of wahi. Can you imagine? One is to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great honor and sharaf. What a great honor to be the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To be in the suhbat and companionship. There was one who we will not term as a sahabi because he never had true iman. So he was in the suhbat, companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because he knew how to read and write, he was also selected in Medina to be a scribe of wahi. To be someone who will write down wahi when Allah sent wahi in Quran, ayat of Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was selected to write those ayat down. What an honor. An honor for a select few only. Ulama have mentioned just merely over a dozen sahaba from approximately 124,000 sahaba radiallahu anhu. From over 100,000 sahaba. Ulama have mentioned just over a dozen who were selected as the kuttabul wahi, the scribes of wahi. To be one of those few, select few. What an honor. But his end was that he gave up his deen. His end was his heart changed. His end was that he began to get these, like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, askana shakka wal hayrata wal khidlan. What happens? Allah allows doubts to creep into the heart. Al hayra, confusion. A person is confused now, he doesn't know. He doesn't know right from wrong. So here too, this person started doubting, and then he started speaking in accordance to that and saying that, na'uzu billah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't know anything besides what I taught him. Because I'm writing and giving it to him. Na'uzu billah. That's where he ended up. From where to where, respected friends and elders. This is a lesson for us. Like that there are many examples in history of people who Allah Rabbul Izzah had given them and facilitated for them the tools of hidayat. But falamma zaghu azagha Allahu qulubahum. So therefore it is important for us to keep a check. Therefore it is important for us to ensure that we are upholding every command of Allah, following every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have this fear that we do not want to be robbed of our iman. We do not want to go off the path. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. In that verse, Allah ends the verse by saying, Allah doesn't guide those who are sinners, meaning persistent sinners. That sin was so much that heart became black, and then he doesn't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, no matter how much of bayan he will hear, no matter how much of admonition, it makes no difference to his heart. The end of this verse is reminding us that how did they reach there? It was their fisk, not kufr. It was their fisk and their sin. When they continued flouting the commands of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, then their hearts changed. And then azaghallahu qulubahum, they became from those whose hearts changed, and then they were deprived of hidayat. Allah Rabbul Izzah, save us. That is the effect of sin, and that is the effect of persisting on sin. Our biggest enemy and the biggest barrier between us and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our gunas, our sins. Let us identify what are those sins that are repeated in our lives. Let us identify the major sins that we are involved in and the minor sins, and start making tawbah, respected friends and elders, and collectively turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because wallahi, the same Allah that gave us everything, the same Allah can take it away. Rabb, the message is here in this verse. Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahab, rahimahullah, used to give a 15-point plan. 15-point plan for death on Iman. And among the prescriptions for death on Iman was, read this dua every day. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Allah give me and all of us a tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.